Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your Yarn in Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM, Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Just Radio Service. You can have your Sabre callings on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, you can text a brother and you can also check out our Facebook page as well, BBM 98.7 FM. And see out all their photos and our podcasts as well. Jump straight into it. We're going to talk to beautiful Leah Cameron from Murrawa Law, and founder and principal of, and solicitor at Murrawa Law, and talk about COVID-19, sackings and unfair dismissals. Yeah, very important conversation. Leah, you there? Good morning.
Good morning, Trev. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you.
I'm expecting you in the studio here this morning, sister.
I know, I'm absolutely swamped, so I'm chained to the desk this morning.
Under the pump.
I'll be sure to be there in person soon.
Lovely, sounds good. Thank you very much. Let the mob know who you mob, where you from.
Yeah, look, I'm a Palawa woman from Tasmania. But currently I'm stuck in Cairns. I can't even go home to see my mob. So it's been, 8 months since I've seen them, and I'm missing them all like crazy. So,
and look, when we're with our mob, we get our energy to continue our life. And so, yeah, you must be feeling a little bit flat, my sister.
I sure am. I'll be there soon, though. Hanging out.
Hanging out. All right, fantastic. Now, topic today, COVID-19 sackings and unfair dismissals. So bring us into the conversation in regarding the intro of this topic, please.
Sure. So obviously COVID has had a really significant impact on businesses and their staff members, and lots of businesses have been forced to close because of restrictions, and lots of people have lost their jobs. So what the statistics are saying is that since the lockdown started in March, unfair dismissal claims have soared by 35% across Australia. So that's huge.
Whoa.
Uptick there. And so there's I don't know if people have seen on social media, there's been a lot of talk about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people being more affected by the unfair dismissals than anyone else. And they've been unfairly sacked. And the reason why is they're saying it's around, health precautions to justify the dismissals, and the particular vulnerability of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and our health condition in general is usually less than that. The general public, so that's why they're putting it forward.
Mm-hmm.
So the Fair Work Commission and state human rights commissions, or their equivalent, have actually been investigating employees over allegations that employees were required to declare their Indigenous status and where they were stood down for identifying as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander. Unfairly dismissing them. And people are also making complaints around discrimination on the basis of their race,
yes,
or their age sometimes, or pregnancy status as well can also be one.
So what is unfair dismissal?
That's a really good question. So under the Fair Work Act, a dismissal is unfair if the employer terminates the employment in a way that's considered harsh, unjust or unreasonable, or not a genuine redundancy. So the good news is if you believe you have been unfairly dismissed and meet those criteria, you can make an application to the Fair Work Commission. But the crucial thing is you need to do it within 21 days of being dismissed.
Okay.
And it starts the day after you were laid off.
Okay. So what you're saying is for, because employees probably wouldn't know what unfair dismissal is, you know, I mean, like the boss say you're no longer required here. Well, you're thinking, oh, I can. So what you're saying is each individual, we should question it. Yep.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the difficulty with the time period is if you've been laid off, it's an upsetting, traumatic thing. You're probably scrambling to work out what to do. You know, you might not be thinking, wow, I should phone the Fair Work Commissioner to sort of look at this matter within 21 days. You know, you're scrambling to get further employment or do what you need to do, or you might be, you know, very upset or depressed. All those sorts of things can happen. But it is really important if people know that someone's been laid off or they've been laid off, if they want to look at that option. I must also say, though, there is a minimum employment period that you will need to meet to apply for unfair dismissal.
Okay.
You need to have been employed for at least six months or for at least 12 months if you've been working for a small business. So, you know, a lot of small businesses have laid off a lot of staff, so there is those different periods of time.
Sure.
And when you've completed the application, the Fair Work Commission will deal with it and work through the process with you. So some of the things that you can seek through your application for unfair dismissal is that you can ask to be reinstated, so ask to continue your employment. Obviously, that's not always likely.
Well, as you say, it's sometimes not good. You know, so jumping back in the lion's den, so to speak, you know? Well, if I'm not wanted here, what do you want me back for, you know?
That's right.
And you were forced to take me back.
That's it.
Exactly.
But, you know, you can understand with some people, they're like, well, that might be the only job they can get in the town they live in, or all those sorts of situations. So it does happen. Then you can sometimes ask for compensation, which is capped at 26 weeks' wage of the annual wage of the employee.
Mm-hmm.
And the maximum amount you can currently award is about $74,000. So just some parameters around that as well.
So compensation, in the sense that you don't have to go back, but you can get compensated for being dismissed and take that amount of money, the max, anyway, $74,000.
Yeah, that's it. So that's the maximum, that's right. So, look, once you've made that application for unfair dismissal, the Fair Work Commission checks out the application, makes sure it's valid. They let your employer know and they serve them with the application. And then they'll deal with the dispute, you know, going to and fro between the parties. And in some cases, they hold a conciliation conference. And it's trying to help both parties reach an agreement. Look, if it's unsuccessful, they issue a certificate, and then they do need to decide whether the dispute is referred to what's known as arbitration. Look, if they don't agree to the arbitration, the employee can then make an application to the court to deal with the matter. But, you know, the intent is always for the parties to try and reach agreement as much as possible, because obviously going to court is a very expensive process for everyone, and, you know, doesn't always get best results.
And the mental strain, emotion that goes with it as well.
Exactly. So really important. So look, if you think you have been unfairly dismissed, you should contact the Fair Work Commission as soon as possible, as we highlighted. And their number is 1-300-799-675.
The number again, 1-300-799-675, yep.
That's the one, Trev. And look, if you have other queries in relation to racial discrimination, all those sorts of things, you can contact the Human Rights Commission in your state, your local law society or community legal aid centres as well. They're a good help.
You are protected, is what we're saying.
That's it. That's right.
Fantastic. And who's Marua Law?
Marua Law, Trev, is an Indigenous legal firm. We specialise in commercial and Indigenous law. We're staffed with amazing Indigenous lawyers who do work all across the country, actually. We have clients everywhere. But even if we can't help you with your particular query, give us a call and we'll see if we can refer you to someone else who can.
Nothing beats black on black, hey, sister?
That's it.
Good talking with you, Leah. Thank you so very much. You take care.
No worries. Thanks, Trev. Have a great day.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there with Leah Cameron, our founder and principal solicitor at Marua Law. And look, fantastic topic there, COVID-19 sackings and unfair dismissals. So whenever you're laid off or put off, and if you've worked over 6 months and you're feeling uneasy about it, and was it the right thing to do in regard to your employer doing that, you are protected. It's, as Leah was saying, it's very important to ask the question. you know, and you can find out if you were unfair, if it was an unfair dismissal or unlawful termination. So, yeah, rights are there. Have you say, Jan Upstrong here on National Talk Black. Jan with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumby Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give me a call, let's have a yarn, 1-800-422-416.
Mob, it's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran!
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to the NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, Queensland are vulnerable in major changes in environmental laws. The federal government is preparing to introduce major changes to environmental laws that could threaten already endangered species and habitats around Queensland, including on the already struggling Great Barrier Reef. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Professor Martin Moran, is an environmental scientist with the University of Queensland. On the line, Martin, very good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning, Trevor.
thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, it's about protecting the environment, but we work with a government that then changes the laws, moves the goalposts, so to speak, and sometimes could be devastating in regarding endangered species and habitats around Queensland. So can you shed some light on the so-called decision, please, by the Queensland government?
Yeah, okay. So this is actually a proposal by the federal government.
Okay.
And it is about how they might change the way that the National Environment Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act works.
Mm.
It's a pretty complex space, but we obviously, our species and ecosystems don't recognise state borders. So we have obviously a whole lot of amazing, incredibly special wildlife and places in Australia that are considered to be matters of national environmental significance.
Mm.
So that might be because they're threatened with extinction nationally or globally. And so that makes it the Commonwealth government's responsibility to make sure that they are cared for and do not go extinct. And that's what the EPBC Act does.
Okay.
But what's happening right now is that there is a proposal to allow the states to make those decisions about what sort of impacts might be allowed on those threatened species and ecological communities rather than the Commonwealth. And so it's about a shifting of responsibility from the Commonwealth down to the states.
Well, whoever we're talking about, whether it be Commonwealth or the state or what have you, there's got to be communication with professionals like yourself in regard to, before making that decision, this is the impact and this is the effects. There's got to be some sort of conversation there. And are the government, state, territories, whatever, are they open to it?
Yeah, so this is sort of a response to what is a quite significant review process led by Professor Graham Samuel for the past almost 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
The Act has been under review. And so an interim report about the effectiveness of the Act and whether it actually works in looking after our wildlife was released. And since then, and so through that process, there has been consultation with various stakeholders and experts, and that's ongoing at the moment.
And it needs to be ongoing. So, like, a decision that hasn't been made as such, like I said, it's a draft, it's a conversation, and information that is put on the table, it helps with the decision for or against, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. And so it's quite a complex one because there's a few different things happening.
Exactly.
The thing is that the EPBC Act review, this document, only an interim version has been released. The final version is not due till October, and it's not really until then that the government will understand exactly what is being recommended. But some people are concerned because the government has already moved to make this change before the final report is completed.
Well, that's scary, isn't it? I mean, look, virtually, it's jumping ahead, jumping the gun, you could say.
It's a really complex space, and it would be really good to make sure that there's been time to consider all of the implications of the recommendations from the review before making a change. One of the really important things in the interim review report is that it sets out the preconditions that would have to be in place to make these sorts of law changes safe for our wildlife.
Yes.
And I think that those preconditions are really the most important thing here.
Well, if you bring the word to the table, extinct or extinction, that means there's no coming back,
Oh, exactly. So if we make an error here, it's sort of, we can't fix it. If something's extinct, it's extinct forever. So we know that many of our species, well, they are going extinct, and there are thousands more on the threatened list. So we need to tread very, very cautiously.
Look, a very important conversation, so thank you so very much for sharing that with us and enlighten us and to all our mob out there. I mean, I know First Nation people are connected, of course, to the land, to the species and the habitats on land, on country. So a very important conversation. And thank you very much, Martine, for sharing.
No worries. Thank you very much.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
That's Martine, Professor Martine Moron, her name is, an environmental scientist with the University of Queensland with expertise in threatening species and ecological communities, that is, and very important conversation regarding the government, state government, federal government, preparing to introduce major changes to environmental laws that could threaten endangered species and habitats around Queensland, including on the already struggling Great Barrier Reef. So conversations need to be had before making any rules, so to speak, get all the information
information before making a decision. The old saying, you know, get all the information. So there it is. Add to the conversation. Tell us your thoughts in regarding that topic or what's happening in your life or on your mind. All ears here on National Talk Black. Daily number here is 1-800-422-416. You call the number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trevor Murray from Macquarie. Your host for the daily program, National Talk Black, a voice for our people. So do utilise that. 1-800-422-416. And we're here at the First Station radio station in Cairns, BBM Bumbleberry Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. 1-800-422-416. That's the number.
It is a choice. I cannot help it.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
My pretty Colleen, why are your eyes filled with tears? Let me come over and dry your eyes and tell you the way that I feel. Closer, come closer, don't throw me away.
Yeah, Deli track there, Town by the Band, Knuckles Band, here on your Deli program, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, give us a call, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim Trendy, Trev Murray from the Curry. Live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. You know it, BBM Bumber Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Now, CATA candidate Tanika Parker's challenge for ALP, Keep Our Kids Safe, is the headline there. An Aboriginal nurse hoping to unseat State Labor MP Cynthia Louis in the Cape York-based marginal electorate of Cork has called for the reinstatement of a specialised youth sexual violence program axed last year by the Palaszczuk government. CATA's Australian Party candidate Tanika Parker has joined police and Indigenous leaders in questioning the dumping of the preventative program lauded at two government reports for its work among Aboriginal communities in West Cairns and Aurukun. The Griffith University Neighbourhoods Project sent forensic psychologists into the community to train residents to identify sexualised behaviour and work intensely with at-risk kids. And the continued failure of the Queensland government to listen to the real needs or First Nation community has hit at crisis point. This is coming from the KAP leader and member for Traeger, Robbie Catter. Mr. Catter has today called on the Premier, who is currently in Cairns for 3 days of meeting, fact-finding missions for the program to be immediately refunded and apology to be issued by her government to the people of the Cape. We have Robert Catter on the line. Robert, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, no, thank you for coming to the program. So you feel as though the government, Queensland government, has dropped the ball, so to speak, yep, regarding our kids, First Nation kids,
oh,
yep?
It just annoyed me. I was in Cairns there myself when the government's there, and they're coming up saying they want to do this and want to help and all that, but here they are standing over this report. At the same time in the media, it's reported that this thing was helping sex... helping get rid of sexual violence among youth and as you said, West Cairns, Aurukun, and the police, the mayor at Aurukun, the people, and then the government officials were all saying this is a good program and recommending it should keep going. It's only $300,000 a year. Sure. Sounds like a lot of money, but that's not, you know, they're big buckets of money they're spending and this was one that was working and everyone wanted it, but just for politics... they've gone and canned it. And what annoys me so much is the Premier's up there saying, oh, we want to try and listen to people and help. And, you know, she's there with Cynthia Louis, the state MP. They should be saying, let's put that back in, that program, because it worked. And they come up there and sort of trying to save one to vote for us before this election. That just annoyed me. And that's why with Tanika Parker, our MP, we're just saying, look, this is not on. Like, you can't come up here and say to help and you're listening
sure.
when you turn your back on this program.
Well, when you're talking money's not an issue when you're talking about protecting our kids. So the reinstatement of the specialised youth sexual violence program should be reinstated, is what you're saying.
Well, what could be a worse thing to hear than violence, sexual violence against kids? And as I understand it, mate, I'm not the expert, but... it was linked with, you know, keeping kids in school and keeping them busy, and which we all know is part of an issue in any community is Indigenous and non-Indigenous. You want to keep the kids active and busy, otherwise they get up to mischief. And as I understand, that's sort of what it was based around, was attendance and stuff like that. But it got worse after they dropped the program. So
Robbie, how long did the program run for?
I think it was 2 years.
Yes.
As I understand it. And but the main point for me, I'm no expert here, but sure, you listen to people on the ground, and if you've got the mayor...
Exactly, grassroots.
They're saying at the grassroots, and the people saying, yeah, well, this seemed to be doing good. Fair enough, if people are saying it's bad, get rid of it, dump it, we're sick of it, but it was the opposite in this case. And they throw millions of dollars at other programs everywhere, up in the Gulf where I am.
Sure.
And the Cape everywhere. And, you know, that was one that was working, but I believe it was just politics that they pulled it. Mm. And just, you know, for her to go up there, the Premier, and say, yeah, we're trying to help and vote for us in the next election, then at the same time you drop that money, that left a bad taste in my mouth, you know.
Sure. So the new candidate running to challenge the ALP seat, Tanika Parker, she's all for pushing Keep Our Kids Safe, isn't she?
Yeah, pretty close to her. And you know, she's younger, I suppose, and a bit in touch with youth than I am. But, Tanika grew up there in Hopewell and went to school in Cooktown. But she's worked as a nurse, a trauma nurse, all over Australia now. But... That's a thing that gets her fires burning, you know,
exactly,
trying to turn the kids around and that. So she was very upset about it, and I just happened to be in Kansas, and that's why she was reported in the national papers today as standing up against it, because it's something she really feels strong about, so it's something she wants to champion, you know.
Did the Palaszczuk government give any reason why they are cutting that particular program?
No, the minister gave a response and said, well, we're still giving 1.5 to those sort of programs in the Cape area, and that was only ever going to be funded for 2 years, so we just didn't renew it. And
sure,
so, well, that's not an excuse. That's just telling us what is. We know you're...
Band-aid solutions, what you're saying.
Band-aid, and you got something that works, you stick with it.
Yeah,
and
if it ain't broke.
You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right,
and,
got your point,
you know, the big thing for me is, it's a new subject, but the big thing for me also, Tanika brought up, is the blue cards too. We're still trying to fix that so they're more accessible in those communities.
Yes. Well, exactly.
So people can access jobs, and they've turned their back on that issue too. I mean, if they're going up there, they should be talking to us all about blue cards and going to fix the system.
Exactly.
Because they're not keeping one kid safe there. What all they're doing is keeping mum and dad
out of work. And there's a bit of a long process regarding blue card applications, isn't it? I mean, it should be like a turnaround a lot faster, so we know who's looking after their kids, who's dealing with their kids. And
that would help,
wouldn't it?
Well, what was put to me by Mornington Shire Justice Group, which I think is the answer, is that the community, and best done through the local justice group, they should make the decision on who gets a blue card, because they know everyone in the community.
Well, exactly.
Blue cards about child sex offence, or, you know, pedophiles.
Sure.
They know every pedophile in the community, so let them make the decision.
Well, exactly. And when we're talking about the communities, everybody knows everybody. So there it is.
Exactly.
And the hierarchies will decide who gets a blue card, who doesn't.
That's right, Trevor. They know if old Johnny Jones there was drunk for the last 10 years, but
exactly,
he got off the grog 2 years ago. He's trying to turn his life around. He wants to get a job. Good on him.
Yes.
Of course he can have a blue card. We know him.
Exactly.
But
exactly,
that goes down the moment. That goes down to Brisbane.
Mm.
And this is what the government want. They want it all decision made down in Brisbane.
Exactly.
And they say
doesn't
that's
work
about keeping the kids
safe. It's not one size fits all, does it?
It's stupid.
The
exactly, decision should go back to the community.
Exactly. Good point. Robbie, thank you very much. A very important conversation.
Thanks,
thank you.
Thanks, mate.
All the best. Bye-bye. Deadly yarn there. That's Robbie Catter, state member for Trigger, and his statement is the continued failure of Queensland government to listen to the real needs of First Nation communities has hit crisis point. And he feels that the government did drop the ball, and he says today he called on the Premier, who is currently in Cairns for 3 days of meeting and fact-finding missions, for the program to immediately refund it and an apology be issued by her government to the people of Cape. And that's in regard to the candidates for the Catter Party, Tanika Parker, who's challenging for the ALP seat in Cook, and for the unseat state Labor MP Cynthia Louie in the Cape York base margin. So there's a bit of a conversation going on there regarding protecting our kids, and my statement is, don't care who's there and don't care how much money we're talking, but we need to protect our pickaninny. That's what I'm saying. So have your say. Yana Strong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yana with the ball. And Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to News, National News Radio Service. Give me a call, you mob.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
That's Jackie Darcy with her daily track. Oh, yes, here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, your mob, 1-800-422-416. Yana with the Bully Run, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We got Cross Nation, thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say, your mob. I'm going to yarn up strong with Merv Eads online, WA. Merv, good morning. How are you, brother?
Good morning, Trevor. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm really well, brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Now, you had a situation that you caught with a brother being harassed by a police officer, Zara, while he was on his bike. Paint that picture, brother.
Yeah, yesterday morning, our brother, a Noongar man who's in Melbourne there, was racially profiled and brutally attacked and caused serious injuries to his body. Yeah, I just got off the phone to him.
Mm.
10 to 15 police jumped him.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was 10 to 15
police. He was on a bike?
He was on a bike riding.
Did he have any weapon?
No weapon. He was on his way to work.
And it takes 15 officers to bring him down?
They body rammed him into the curb.
And any reason why was it? Melbourne's in isolation and cut and lockdown. Did he wear a mask? Do you know the situation?
Yeah, he had a mask on. He was just riding to work, and he was actually really close, really near to his work, because supervisors came to his aid. And Corey Penny is a young Noongar man from over here.
Mm-hmm.
He just finished the Firefield Link project tunneling. He's one of six people in Australia that could operate a multi-million dollar imported machine, the tunnel boring machine.
Okay.
He's left here because the tunnel project finished here, and they took him over there to do the project.
So there is work being done in Melbourne, and he's contracted to do the work. He's employed to do the work.
Yes.
So that means that operation is underway even in lockdown. So he's going to work.
Yes.
Go figure.
He's an essential state worker.
Okay.
He was on his way to work. This young man is on $280,000 a year. He probably earns more than any of them police.
Sure, okay.
He's an hard-working man, he's a good man, but what they've done to him and how they treated him and the brutal assault, he left the scene in an ambulance after they determined that he was...
So there was no arrest?
No arrest whatsoever.
So he goes to hospital instead of going to work, bruised up in the ambulance?
Yes, and probably serious nerve damage done to his arm and other injuries upon his body. He reckoned if he didn't have the bike helmet on, how they smashed his head into the curb and that, he'd have serious, serious injuries to his head as well. If he didn't have his bike helmet saved him.
Is he going to take this further?
Just got off the phone to AWA, the unions over there.
Yep.
And they're right onto it. They're
good.
National, and their biggest lawyers are all over it.
Yes.
They're taking it as far as it needs to be taken. Because they said the guy actually said to me, if he was a white man in a suit on a Penny Farland riding along,
they wouldn't touch him.
Would have happened? No.
Exactly.
His only crime is being black.
Yeah, brother. All right, well, please keep in touch, brother, how he goes, and make sure he's okay first. But, love to see how this pans out. But it doesn't sound good, my friend.
Not good at all, brother.
Okay, brother. Thanks for sharing, amen. All the best, brother. Bye-bye.
Cheers, brother. See ya.
To Delhi. Have you say Yarn Up Song here on your Delhi program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. We're live at the First Station radio station here in Cairns, as BB and Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Just Radio Service. All right, going to catch up now. We've got Tony on the line. Tony Gibbs, good morning. How are you? Tony, you there? Hello? No, Tony, give us a call back, please, brother. I can hear the phone ringing, whether he's ringing me or someone's ringing him. Tony, give me a call back. I know you called in and lost you there, brother. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, the deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Don't forget, if you're on the shy side, you can text the brother, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. And on that daily Facebook page, you can see all our daily stories, all our photos, all the podcasts, all happening there. On the Facebook page as well, so a good tool it is. We'll try again with Tony Gibbs. Tony, you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Good morning.
Well, this is Gordonvale, 20 kilometres south of Cairns, and it's built on the Mulgrave River, and we have a rest area been there for years.
Yes.
It's called the Green.
A lot of grey nomads park down there and camp down there, don't they?
Well, I'll come to that in a minute.
Okay.
I'll start the story. That's what's happened now. But what they've done, the council have got what was a gazetted, back to the Cairns Council, they've overtook the place and they've shut the road down to the river. So, you know, like we've got a big Murray mob here, happy people, the whole lot, you know, we've got everybody here.
Mm.
And everybody's saying, oh, you know, kids and idols. Well, the family can't drive their car down to the river no more. If you remember, I come on 3 years ago and said there was a lot of motorbikes roaring around the riverbank down there, and, all the family got down there and picnic and sit there. And I'm talking about the whole community. I'm talking about the whole community. And I've been on the... Brett Muller was talking on the RCA this morning. I thought, oh, good, our local rep's on there. And he told me that the state has taken over it. Well, it was just a rest area with a simple toilet. The council have taken it over and they've made it a camping ground, so you've got up to 50, 60 trappers.
So you're allowed to camp down there, is what you're saying?
They camp in there, it's free, and so they've got this really landscaped place there, and they've built this great big toilet block with showers for a dollar in it.
Well, I thought camping near a town or a city wasn't allowed because you're taking business away from caravan parks.
There was a caravan park in Gouldenvale, but it was shut years ago and local people bought a caravan. But what the problem is with the COVID and all the travellers, there's a lot of security and police going around checking number plates, and there's people from all over. And I sit down because, I can't sit here on my home on my own. I sit down here because I'm used to travellers and I'm still protecting what we do, you know?
Yes.
I think the people. And And I'm watching the security, and so the family come down, some of the boys, even on payday, they used to go down there and have a couple of cans. I'm not talking about really getting out of it. You know, they're just people used to dropping in the riverbank and quiet and go, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, they're cool, you know. And you've got all these other people, and they're drinking, and they're drunk, grey nomads, dry gay nomads, like whatever. So, it's a play on words.
Yes.
And it's a family show. And so they're all outrageous down there, and then a couple of our boys go down, and I see the anger. The security guys come up to them, see, and they've got security written on the back, and they go and question them, what you're doing, where you're from. And they're not used to that.
Mm.
They're on their own country. They're on their own country. We haven't got, you know, we're going to...
And they're visitors.
And this is just the locals that go down there, and all the visitors are standing, so they're getting shamed in front of the people. They don't want to walk down through all that richness of all these fancy people. They're just quiet, shy, and go down the river quiet, you know, and fish in peace and quiet. But that has... See, years ago we said we wanted police, but we were talking about the trail bikes. Now they've segregated it, and the trail bikes have got the whole right-hand side of the river, and they churn up and down, and they roar up and down. Oh, so all them campers, and it's free. They told me there's a similar one built in Babinda too. So, anyway... But it's state land now, where the rest area was a traveller's right to just rest and, you know, up and down a camera. We're grateful for them things, and they're good, and they're safety valves for people.
So it sounds like the rules...
We haven't got a safety valve for the town now. You know, school holidays coming up, summer's coming on, and the gate is on the river. And I've told Brett Muller and the councillor are aware... And Brett called me this morning too, before that, and I didn't know he was going to be on that show, but I was just listening, and he told me he's going to push the council about the grave situation, you know.
Yeah, sure, exactly.
I have to have a laugh, mate, because I saw the mayor on TV. My curse might be working a bit because, you know, I pointed the bone big time at that fella, and I saw his shovel break on that TV, that brown grating thing. Down there when I cut the lock, I'm just reporting.
So, a bit of a mess at the moment. Thanks for sharing, my brother. We'll talk soon, Tony Gibbs.
Yeah, we don't want the security messing with the local people. You
no,
know,
exactly.
And the visitors.
Exactly, brother. Exactly. That's Tony Gibbs there having his say. Yarning up strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation 1-800-422-416. And look, about 4 minutes left on the line. We've got Selwyn, good morning.
Hi, good morning, brother. I have a little bit of a heavy duty political stuff, brother. I'd like to see that, one of them, Jan.
Yes.
Brother, I'd like to see black comedy do take the mickey out of home and away, brother. That's one.
Yeah.
And the other one is, what's the other one?
But Home and Away, that's your show, eh? You love Home and Away, don't you?
I don't run that down, brother, but the other one is... The other one, you know how they... like I watch
Neighbours.
Sky Channel, brother. No, not Neighbours. I watch Sky Channel, brother, and, you know, they're often the comments, when comments there, you talk about the normal Australian, the quiet Australian, and when they talk about... How will it stack up in having a pub test? Well, I like to see a black comedy do a pub test, and I like to see Aaron Fraser play a bisexual, and Stephen Oliver and Michael Louis fighting of the same man, Aaron Fraser. And you gotta have brother Kevin Coppenieri as the quiet, the drunken brother.
Yeah, true. Or Bush Takabungi in there as well.
No. I don't know about Bush Takabungi. This is the third one. Is the Plague of Oregon, brother.
You should become a producer, my brother.
Yeah, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Too deadly. Murray, going to sign off for you, Mobber. Thank you very much for your company. We've got the news coming for you very soon. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe, you mob. We are still in COVID-19. Bide by the rules. We'll yarn soon, you mob. Too deadly.